Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our sermon today is our epistle lesson, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 2 or 4, as we've heard from the lectern. So we'll pray. Lord, sanctify us, that is, set us apart for your service through the power of your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, it might be cloudy outside and the weather might not be too cheerful, but the mood of our readings and the guidance from God's word before us today is very clear. It was a day of rejoicing. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, that fulfilled the prophecy of the Old Testament. And he was very determined to make that happen, wasn't he? We are struck by Jesus being ruled and regulated by the time of the week. That day, that Sunday, that was set for his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And he knew that along with the Passover celebration of the week, he would give up his life to redeem this world from sin, all by Friday. But today was a day of rejoicing because it was good news that God was coming to his people, that Jesus was approaching Jerusalem for their encouragement. And that is a source of good news for us yet today. It's a totally appropriate theme for the season of Advent. It puts us right with all those Old Testament people who are faithfully watching for the fulfillment of God's promises. They didn't exactly know how God's Savior was going to come into the world. They knew he was going to have flesh and blood. They knew he was going to be born of a woman. And therefore, women having children in Israel was a very special privilege, because they knew that's how the Savior was going to come into the world. But there were so many things they could not have known that we are privileged to know because we live afterwards and have it recorded in God's word for us. He did come as God promised. He did come to bring blessing and salvation. And for that, the people deserved, or it was appropriate for them to praise God and to have this joyful time, even though it was going to be so much different by Good Friday. But we look at the joy that these people had in the salvation of God, and it is reflected also in St. Paul's encouragement to the Philippians. St. Paul wrote these words from prison. He wrote them partially in response to a servant, their pastor, that they had sent to take support to Paul as he could use help while he was in prison, and that Epaphroditus was to stay there for a while and see if he could help Paul while he was still in prison. And so Paul got to hear about what was going on back in the congregation in Philippi and respond with a thank you letter and some encouragement here as we have before us. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And it's a imperative. It's the way we give a command, rejoice. And it makes me wonder, can you really command somebody to rejoice? Can you command them to be joyful? my sinful nature doesn't like to be told to be happy, what to be happy about, and certainly not to be happy all the time. But that is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. But he's appealing to our sinful nature, isn't he? St. Paul was in prison. It wasn't as bad as the next time that we hear he's in prison and he's actually executed. This time he's declared innocent and let go. And it wasn't so easy for the Philippians either. Remember when Paul went to them, he had joyful success in converting Lydia, but he was locked in jail. That was definitely a negative, but he was let loose, and finally he was forced out of the city by Jews that were jealous of his preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. The persecution never stopped completely, and so there was always room for the encouragement. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So why could they rejoice even if high authorities over them were persecuting them and, in Paul's case, imprisoning them? Well, because Paul was on very good terms with a higher authority. With the highest authority, the authority that we appeal to every time we say, Our Father who art in heaven. He created all things. He created us. He's the one who wanted to reestablish a loving relationship with humankind, with us, after our first parent sinned. And we have that relationship because God established it with us through the blood of his Son, who paid for all of our sins. We have peace with God because God wants it. God established a way for it to happen, and Jesus paid for everything that would stand in the way of a good relationship with us. I love the idea of talking about peace with God, right? Because God is the one who made it. He established it. He announces it to us. It really is good news, and we should rejoice in the peace we have. We should rejoice in the relationship that we have with God that he established for us. And we don't want to forget that it was totally by grace. Everything he did took thousands of years to accomplish through the prophecies of the Old Testament. And finally, God showed great diligence in carrying out his promises. And finally, they were carried out by his own dear Son at great cost and sacrifice to himself. And finally, after Jesus accomplished everything and ascended into heaven, God blessed his people with the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way we come into a good relationship with God, through the message of the gospel of Jesus' redeeming work and paying for our sins. The Holy Spirit works to turn our hearts and make us his own and keep us his own. So there is a reason to rejoice, because God has done so much for us. And at this time of year, during the season of Advent, we don't want to neglect, and having come through the end times, that we are looking forward to seeing Jesus again. We don't know when he will appear on earth, but we know he is coming. It is certain. We're just waiting. And we know that none of us are going to live forever, so we will see the Lord Jesus when we die. And we can rejoice that we will see him, because then he will give us everything that he promised. A perfect joy in heaven, a perfect communion with him, And anything that we could think of that would that gives us trouble here in this world that might interrupt our rejoicing, God invites us to remember that the joys of heaven far outweigh all of those troubles. So we do rejoice. The Lord is near. St. Paul doesn't deny that he's in prison or that the Philippians are being persecuted. But the other side is true. God is in a perfect relationship with them. God does love them and has made them his own by his grace. He says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. If we consider ourselves rich, if we consider ourselves highly privileged because of God's undeserved grace toward us, that's worth rejoicing, and it gives us an attitude in which we function in this world and the attitude with which we relate to other people in the world. We have been benefited by God's love and mercy toward us. It's only right for us to act as our name indicates, to act like Christ, who was so good to undeserving sinners with which he dealt. We are citizens of heaven. We are co-heirs with Christ. It's hard to imagine, but being rich and having benefited so much from God's blessings, it's only fitting that we would look for ways to be like God here on earth and to be good to the other people around us. And if God is has created us and made us his own, he has also clearly told us not to worry. So St. Paul repeats, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. What a privilege to be able to go to God in every trouble and go to our God who cares about us intimately, who really cares more about our well-being and our future more than we do, because we go off the path and we make bad decisions, and he never does. He always wants what's good for us. It's remarkable that we can go to him in prayer and ask him for help. That's what he wants us to do. It's not like he doesn't know what we need or what would be good for us. And yet, he still tells us to ask him. And that is a blessing for us to have to think about what is good for us. What does God want? And then go to God with the very things that he wants to give us in the first place. When we do this, it does put away worry. And I don't want to give the impression that when there's no worry, there will be no more work or no more effort. No, we still are going to have many days when we're very tired at the end. But being diligent and being disciplined, following the Lord's path, is really a good way to have happiness here on this earth too. If we are diligent in hearing God's word, we're going to be reminded of God's love and gracious blessings to us. And if we are diligent in showing love to other people, we are going to be blessed in our relationships with other people too. God will make sure that happens. And so I would encourage you to pray for discipline, for making good use of your time, just like Jesus had to on the last week of his life. He had to make sure everything happened as prophesied, and he worked hard to make it happen. And sometimes we have to work hard to make good things happen in our relationships relationships with people, our relationships with God, and in bringing about blessings that God wants to give us in our physical lives. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want you troubled. He doesn't want you worried and concerned. And that's why the message of our salvation, the message of peace with God, is so precious. It guards us from becoming too worried about becoming bitter about our circumstances, because as hard as our circumstances might be, once again, we know God's love and our future bliss is also true. And as we pray, God does promise to take care of us, and He will bless us in our relationships and in our efforts to simply live a prosperous, a life able to help others and show love to others here and now. It is very necessary. I can't leave out the preceding verse where St. Paul said, "I plead to Euodia and Syntyche to come to agreement in the Lord." These were two women who had worked hard with the Apostle Paul. They were dedicated to the gospel, and they were not getting along. And so what does he tell them? Rejoice, pray, enjoy God's peace that will guard your hearts and minds and improve your relationship. That's what God wants. That's what God brings. We're glad to have God approaching us, bringing us his blessing and his word. We rejoice that this world is not going to last forever. Our lives are not going to last forever. And it is nearer now to seeing the Lord than the day we first believed. May God indeed give us what he's asking us to pray for, joy and a rejoicing heart. Amen.